Welcome to Section 9, where we talk about IT and information security. I'm Damian Hull.
And I'm Dorothy.
And today we're going to be talking about end-of-the-year things, because we're getting ready for next year, since this is pretty much the end of the year already. And then we're going to talk about some training and then our toolkit, because last episode we sort of forgot to talk about our toolkit and the other tool we wanted to add to the toolkit. So let's talk about end-of-the-year things. And this is something where I wanted to sort of start to think about, you know, what do we need to do for the end of the year? And what do we need to do to get ready for next year? Are there any things that we have to think about? And the first thing that I want to talk about is our 365 security. Talked about that last episode. Talked about our two-factor conditional access and how that's awesome. And we have most of that taken care of. The one thing that I didn't do at that point was the password for our tech support account. So we have our emergency accounts that do not have 2FA and no conditional access, but they do have 99-character passwords, right? So the chance of somebody being able to hack into those is going to be really hard. Now, with our tech support account, I couldn't remember how many characters I had in there, and we had sort of just left it that way. Well, I've changed that since then. So now our tech support account, which also does not have 2FA and no conditional access, has a 99-character password. So again, the chance of somebody being able to hack that is going to be very difficult. And then, of course, our regular accounts, our global admin accounts that we use on a regular basis, have conditional access and two-factor. So between now and the end of the year, I'm not really going to worry about 365 security. It's pretty much done, over. We have it where we want it to be. And I don't want to make major changes to anything in there that could break something. And then over the holidays, we have to try to fix that, right?
Well, that, and you have the course that you're taking from Black Hills Security. So you don't want to be starting anything while you're trying to get that course done, right?
What we want to begin thinking about, besides our 365 security, that was sort of done because I didn't want to have to think about that over the holidays. And I didn't want us to be worrying about the hackers trying to get in. I wanted it to be over, done with. We don't have to think about that until next year. And so that's taken care of. Now what we have to think about are things for the end of the year, what's coming up for next year. One thing that always gets people is licensing. So we have to think about our Fortinet licensing for next year, because our 360 license for the firewalls will expire end of January. So we want to start to think about how we're going to replace that. And we can start doing that first of the year. We can, you know, talk to our vendor, see what they recommend, or look at our options, and then begin to plan for that, so that when that day comes, we just transition to the new license. We lose a few features along the way, and we're going to be fine. Because we don't want, from what we've done so far with 360 licensing, we don't necessarily need the 360 licensing, because it has features in there that we never use. So there's that. And we also want to look at our skills. We want to look at process. Some of these things are coming from the ITIL training that I'm taking. We want to make sure that we have a process in place for certain things. We have the right skills. And we have to think about, you know, what role do we play in Section 9? You know, what are you going to be doing? What do I do? Do we have a process for that? Do we have the right skills for that? And it's not something that we're going to do over the holidays. It's something that we're going to think about. And then in January, we're going to focus on how to get those skills, how to create those processes, and make sure that going forward for next year, we have a plan in place for managing things like 365. So those are some things that we're going to have to think about for next year. And then on the training side, you already talked about my SOC training. I have ITIL training. And then we also have Windows 10 training, which we're going to get back to. We may not get to that this year. We may have to go back to it next year, January maybe. But that goes along with the skills we need to be able to do the things that we want to do. Manage 365, manage our workstations and laptops and our mobile devices, have a process in place so that managing workstations, laptops, mobile devices, 365 servers isn't going to be this thing that's a lot of work, right? We have a plan in place to take care of these things. And I was telling you a story about a conversation I had with some people who were asking that very question. How do we maintain the things we have? And I think that that's a question that a lot of IT organizations or IT departments don't necessarily ask themselves. But in this case, that question wasn't specifically asked, but it's an IT department that has things they're supposed to be maintaining, and it turns out that that's not really happening in this particular case. And so that question came up of how do we make sure that everything's working? How do we not forget certain things? How do we make sure these things are taken care of? And what they're really trying to ask is, how do we maintain all of the things that we're responsible for? And that's something that we have to ask ourselves as well, because at first I thought, well, this is kind of goofy. But in my previous job, that was something that was not talked about enough. And that very question wasn't asked. And so, you know, everybody was sort of running around trying to figure out what they were supposed to do. They weren't entirely sure. Things didn't always work properly. In fact, at least once a week, there was an emergency because there was no planning. There was no process. There were no questions being asked about how do we maintain these things in a way that makes sense so that we're not killing ourselves, right? So what I want you to do is begin to think about these things so that next year you say, hey, if I'm going to be managing things like workstations, if I'm going to be managing things like users in 365, where's my training for that, right? So we have things like Windows 10. There's going to be some 365 training we may have to look for so that you can be able to do that. And then where's the process for me to maintain workstations and maintain laptops and maintain mobile devices, right? And there's going to be new stuff in there, like how do you use things like Intune? How do we join something to Azure AD? Because we don't have a traditional Active Directory. It's not clear to me how to join something to Azure AD. And once it's joined to Azure AD, how do we manage that with Intune? Can we deploy applications to it? Can we change configuration settings? Are there some basic things we can do for security? Can I look at what's happening with Windows Defender, right? So these are some things that I have no answers to because it's all new and we're both going to have to figure that out. So any thoughts on all that?
No, I mean, I have some things on my list as well. I definitely want to get my Synology disk station set up and the wireless access point that you got. And we need to kind of, make a plan on what we want the home network to look like.
Exactly. And yeah, you're right. You do have your Synology disk station. You do have that new wireless access point, the Fortinet access point that we need to add to the network. We're going to have to figure out how to get the Synology disk station tied into 365. I think there is a way to get it to tie into maybe OneDrive or have a backup of some kind. Not entirely sure how to do that, but I have seen something where there is some sort of connection to 365. So we'll have to look into that. But these are all things that are designed to help us manage what we have and not kill ourselves in the process and achieve our goal of saying, hey, we're actually learning how to manage an enterprise environment like 365, servers, workstations, laptop process, skills. You know, that's all a part of being in an enterprise environment. And we want to be able to do that in a way that makes sense and achieves a goal. And we don't have to think too much about what we do. We just do it. And it's like with our security. Because we took the time to do our security in a way that makes sense to us, and we've reduced risk a bit, and we feel comfortable about that risk that we're accepting, because it's not completely gone, but we know now that if hackers are going to try to get into our accounts, it's going to be very hard for them to do that. And so I know that because of what we've done, I don't necessarily have to think about it for a while. I can go do other things. And that's what we want to do when we talk about our skills and our process. We want to learn enough to be able to do our jobs right and then have a process in place, maybe even automation to where things happen and we don't have to worry about them. But let's talk about our toolkit, because this is where we made a mistake last episode and we didn't have a tool for our toolkit. We totally forgot to talk about that. And these are things that I think we're going to have to take time to learn how to use, because we have currently in the toolkit Deepblue CLI, which is for log analysis, looks for evil in your Windows logs. And then we have Sysmon, which is going to be for better Windows logging. And then we have Nmap, which is a network scanner. You can look at services. You can look at devices on the network. I typically use it to see what kind of devices are on the network. And then occasionally I will say, okay, what kind of services does this device have? So I will scan it to see what kind of services are on there.
And you also have Wireshark.
Yeah, so we also have Wireshark, and Wireshark is used for packet analysis. But we're not using it to look for evil because it's too hard to use something like Wireshark to look for evil. I'm typically going to use it to look for issues with maybe a firewall configuration, a server configuration. The last time I used it for that, we had a file server that wasn't working properly. And it turns out there was a network card that was misconfigured. Wireshark was able to show us that, and we were able to fix the problem. So these are the things we have in our toolkit so far. The new one I'm going to add to the toolkit is LastPass, or some sort of password manager. Because as I was thinking about what tool am I going to add to this, because at the time we were talking about this, I didn't have an idea of what to add. I wasn't sure. And I thought, well, what do I do on a regular basis? I log into, 10, 15 different things on a regular basis, whether those are personal accounts or things for work. Like at work, we have, two or three things that I log into that are online applications, and they all have different usernames and passwords. So you have to be able to manage all of that effectively. And I think LastPass or some sort of password manager, we like LastPass, and I think that's going to help out a lot. And especially when we look at what we've done with Azure AD and our tech support account and the emergency accounts. Well, they have 99 character passwords. How are we going to know what those are? Writing them down is not an option. Having that in LastPass is one of the only ways I can think of to have an account with a 99 character password. Because if we were to write that down, then you would have to try to type all that back in. There's no way you're going to be doing that. So now what we can do, if we have to get back in, copy, paste, done. So if we look at all the tools that are on this toolkit, I think that this is something that works really well. And there are going to be others that we're going to add, but I think we're going to have to take some time out and figure out more about Deepblue CLI, figure out more about Sysmon and how to use them. It may take us a bit to do that, but I think that this is a good start because I know when I started doing security, I had no way of looking at the logs. And what's surprising to me is that I wasn't aware that Windows logging wasn't very good. I knew there were things you needed to log, but what are they, right? And how do you go turn them on? And I think sometimes when you take these security courses or training, sometimes they kind of skip over those things because maybe they assume you already know that or they don't have enough time to include that. And so I think if we take a look at something like Sysmon and maybe look at more about Windows logging, we might be able to achieve something that works better for us. And we're going to have to figure out where we're going to put that. Like, can I put that on a workstation? Can I set up my workstation so that I can have Sysmon on there and get some better logs? And if something bad happens, I can just run Deepblue CLI on my workstation. Because we don't have a server. So we don't have a server to do this for us, and we don't have a server to send logs to. And because we are mobile, we don't have, we're not in an office that we can send logs to the central server. We would have to have something in 365 because we don't want a traditional Active Directory environment where we have to maintain a server. That's just too much work for us. So I think what you and I are going to have to do, and this is going to be a long-term thing, is figure out Deepblue CLI and Sysmon so that if there's an indication that maybe something's wrong with the workstation, we have a process in place that says, okay, it's time to run Deepblue CLI and see what we get back because something's goofy here.
And are we going to do a baseline before we do that?
Well, it's not necessarily a baseline. What you do is you run Deepblue CLI, and the beauty of Deepblue CLI is that it's going to look for the evil for you. You won't have to look for it yourself because Deep Blue CLI does it for you.
So Deep Blue CLI would know the normal, and then it will say, oh, okay, this is not right. Is that what you're saying?
No, what's going to happen in this case is Deep Blue CLI is going to look at the logs and look for indications of evil. So what I mean by that is if there's a bunch of failed logins, right? Somebody tries to log in 20 times. Deep Blue CLI may see that and say, that's evil. Let's report on that. Let's display that, right? So when you run that against your logs, it's going to show you that.
Okay.
You don't have to go look for that yourself.
I guess for me is when I look at that, you know, creating a process for something and trying to determine if something is wrong, I feel like I need to know what the normal is, you know, to have a baseline of like, this is what it usually looks like. And this is why I'm concerned because now I'm looking at something that is not the norm.
Well, there are some things that I think we will have to look at in terms of the logs and what are in the logs. And I think that that's something that you and I are going to have to sit down and talk about when it comes to Deep Blue CLI and things like Sysmon and just Windows logs in general, and even just logs in general. So we have like our Linux servers that are our DNS servers. What's in the logs? Well, I don't bother looking at that. Mm-hmm. Why don't I look at that? Part of the reason I don't look at it is what you're talking about. What's it supposed to look like? Well, I'm not sitting there watching the logs. And I think that that's where automation comes into play, where if you're in a SOC environment for a larger organization, the SOC environment is going to have all this data coming in to that central location. And then you need to have automated tools to catch all of that because you're not going to be sitting in front of a machine looking at the logs 24/7 to see exactly when the hacker tries to do something or exactly when the malware tries to do something. So I think in our case...
I mean, the last time we looked at our logs on the DNS servers were when we first set it up, and within the first 15 minutes, we were able to see that people were trying to get in. So, you know, I'm just wondering, are we going to create a process of we need to look at the logs at least once a month, once a year? And
well, and that's why I want to take the SOC training from that guy from Black Hills Information Security.
No, and that's why I'm bringing this up. I'm just saying, you know, are these some of the things that we're going to be looking at?
And that's a good question. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm hoping to get from the SOC training that leads into some of our tools is, you know, like, when do we look at that?
Right.
And how do we look at that? And I think for me, the big challenge has always been for a small organization like ours, we can't afford automated tools for the most part, right? And so when we looked at our logs for Azure AD, and you said, hey, people are trying to log in as you. It's like, okay, well, what do we do about that? And are you supposed to sit there and watch the logs? Well, you can't.
Well, and that's the thing. That was one of the things that when we got into 365 and all that, we decided, is it going to be worth it? Because are we going to have to babysit this thing the entire time? And then we came up with a security plan based on some of the things we've seen.
Yeah, and there are ways in which you can set up 365, which we don't have access to because they're part of actual Azure, where you can take your AD logs, your Azure AD logs, and you can send them to this log analysis tool within Azure. But you have to have Azure in order to do that. So that's something that we have to take into consideration. Do we want that feature? Is it worth for us to go out and buy that? Maybe not. But that's something we have to take into consideration. And so when we look at the tools that I've assembled here, Deep Blue CLI and Sysmon are on the list partly because they're free, partly because they're automating the process of looking at the logs. So traditionally, what we would have to do is go into the machine that we think is infected or there's an issue there and look at the logs. Now, even with Deep Blue CLI, I think we're still going to have to look at the logs because we may want to go and check it for other reasons, but you have to go in there and manually work your way through hundreds, if not thousands, of lines of information that's in there. And that's time consuming. And you may get bored, you may get tired of looking at that, and then you don't look at the rest of it. And then the question is, well, what did you miss, right? And you're looking at not just one log, but there's several in there. So one of the things that we're going to have to do is figure out which ones do we look at. Okay, now that we know we have to look at maybe 10, well, that's time consuming to do that manually. We have better things to do than that. So if we have something like Deep Blue CLI, you run it against those 10 logs, it tells you what's going on. If it shows you nothing, great, because most likely there's nothing in there.
So you're going into this SOC training with some of this in the back of your head saying, okay, I need to create a process for this kind of thing. I don't quite know what the process is. And, you know, you're hoping to come out with a plan that is kind of like more efficient and it's not going to take a lot of time, but still maintain the security of Section 9. Is that it?
Exactly. And I think what I'm hoping for out of all of this is more of a practical approach to how to, because it's specifically SOC training.
Mm-hmm.
But the SOC training is focusing on your logs, your things to look at, how to set up certain things, and you're looking for indications that something bad's happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Malware's in there, or somebody's trying to log into something, you know, bad things are happening. What do you look for? And then the question for me is, how do you do that for a small organization like us? Because we don't have the tools that a large organization is going to have. And so even if you have an organization that has maybe 500 to 1,000 employees, it's still relatively hard to do security because you don't have access to the tools. They're too expensive.
So does your training include what happens once you find the evil? Like, you know, how you develop a process to deal with whatever it is? Or... is it just finding the evil and just helping you identify it? Do you know?
I think that's going to be the main focus, but they're always going to be talking about, okay, you've discovered something, now what, right?
Right.
But the hard part is going to be to say, even for large organizations, it's still hard. How do we find the evil, right? How do you know it's there? What indications do you look for to say, hey, something bad's happening here? So those are some things that I'm hoping to get from that. But the Deep Blue CLI and the Sysmon are going to be the hard things that we're going to have to sort of figure out because they're brand new. I've never used them before. You know, like Nmap, Wireshark, LastPass. We will have to create a process for all of those. But you and I have used them before, right? We've played around with them. I've used them at work. And so we have an idea of how we want to use that. Nmap is not something we're always going to use, but every so often we may run that just to double check and verify that things are configured the way they're supposed to be configured, right? Do we have the right devices on the network? Is there something new there? Because sometimes in our lab environment, maybe I plug something in and you don't know about it because I forget to tell you. Well, you run Nmap and you go, hey, why is there a new device here? It wasn't there 2 weeks ago. Why is it there now? So those are the kinds of things that you can use Nmap for. And then you can also do your port scans to see if you've configured certain things the way they're supposed to be configured. Maybe you have something open that shouldn't be open, a service running that shouldn't be there, or you have a new device on the network that has a service on there that is not listed in the documentation. But hey, look at that. It's there. We see it. Nmap tells us it's there. And sometimes you'll have that on IoT devices. Maybe you buy a webcam, and you scan that and find out there are other services running on that particular device. Well, now you know they're there, so now you can take action to minimize the risk that those things may pose, right? So those are the kinds of things you can do with Nmap. And then Wireshark, again, you're just using it to double-check and verify that certain things are working the way they're supposed to. If you have an issue, you may be able to track it down using or analyzing network packets for things like your file servers not working properly, maybe a firewall's not working properly, or, you know, various other reasons. In fact, I have used it in the past to look for or figure out that there are multiple DHCP servers on a network in one situation I was in. So you're very rarely going to take out Wireshark unless you feel the need to actually use that. So we'll have to have a process for that. When do I go and use Wireshark? And then LastPass, you and I are going to sit down and learn more about LastPass. How do we manage it? How do you manage it? What's the process for doing that? What kinds of policies do we have in place? Why are they there? What are they doing? And how does this affect the way we do user account and password management, right? So yeah, these are some things that we're going to be thinking about for next year. Again, we have my SOC training coming up next month, trying to finish my ITIL training. I want to get that done before the end of the year. Hopefully I can do that. Do you have any other questions about all of this? Because these are things that I've been thinking about. And one thing that I want you to know is that going forward, what I'd like to do is make sure that you're getting, that we know what role you're going to play, you get the right skills, and we have the right training to go with it. And then eventually we'll have a process for these things. And the toolkit piece is something that you're going to have and begin to learn how to use so that when certain things happen, the network doesn't function the way it's supposed to, devices don't function the way they're supposed to, you might be able to use the toolkit to say, oh, I can use Nmap to double check that. Or maybe I need Wireshark in this particular case. Or I'm creating a new test account. Let's make sure it's in LastPass. Or I think that there might be a virus on this particular device. Let's run Deep Blue CLI.
I mean, I'm sure I'll have questions. But, you know, I think for me, the questions come up as I'm trying to come up with a process or, you know, trying to identify what my role will be. You know, I do have some things in the back of my head, but until we actually get into doing the actual thing, I'm not really going to know if those are my valid questions. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and so you're going to have to see some of it.
Right, because if I had the experience, I could probably think of, oh, I'm going to have to think about this or I'm going to have to think about that. For me, I think the process is going to be a little bit newer than it is for you. And I think at the time when we're actually coming up with a plan or trying to go through the process and actually do the hands-on part of it, I think for me, that's when my questions are going to be coming up and saying, hey, wait a minute, or do I need to do research to understand this part of it? Or is this important to the process? You know, so, but I'm excited about it.
Yeah, but I think that's it for now. Again, we're going to be looking at my training coming up, our skills, things we need to do next year, licensing. And fortunately for us, our 365 security, or at least our Azure AD security, is pretty much taken care of for the year. We don't have to think about that. But again, that's it for now. If you have any comments or questions, you can send us an email at support@section9.us. And if you want to take a look at our show notes, you can go to the website, section9.us. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.